Welcome everybody to a brand new episode of MoCast, a special one once again where me and he have a little chat about mains. Why did we pick what we picked in 9.2? The thought process, I would say, in going into that, yep. And a lot more between. And I think like one of the main things to maybe take out of this is like for people in the future when they have trouble deciding on what to main, maybe this will help out, like what we think when we pick our mains.
Yeah, well, I mean, like we are getting a lot of questions on stream and in YouTube and Discord as well about mains, about so on and so forth, mostly on streams. And it's a very difficult question to answer because it's a very subjective thing. So we'll probably cover, hopefully, most of the things and maybe give you an idea. And, you know, it's always fun to talk about what clicks, right? Like, why do you want to play whatever you want to play?
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of factors that you take in, right? It's the fantasy of it. It's maybe performance-wise, what would you expect? What would you... If you're, like, thinking a lot in terms of, like, meta, not the case here, but, again, maybe you're a fan of the underdogs and really want to show everybody that an underdog can do well. Maybe you just, I don't know, see the table of gear that is to come in the new patch, and you know a piece of loot will actually be super cool for your spec. We'll get into that.
I can smell it.
Yeah, there's a lot to go into. But so I guess we should start it off with the mains that we played that people don't know.
Well, I was going to
you were going to
talk about you because you are the more consistent one when it comes to mains, considering that your main is Red Paladin and it has been for
except a couple of patches.
Well, I mean, yeah, but I mean, even then, you when I ask you, it's like, oh, my main is always Red Paladin, right? But you play stuff.
Yeah, that's different because there's probably going to be a lot of people who have like a big love for one spec, and it's usually the spec you kind of like started out with and did your first things or whatever. It's kind of the case for everybody. Probably the same to me. Red Paladins will always have a close and very warm place in my heart. And it was the reason because back in Burning Crusade, when I played the Red Paladin, I told this a million times, I would walk through Stormwind and people would do slash spit. And they would say like, lol, Red Pala, roll a real class, roll a real DPS, shit like that. And I always said that shit's like, motherfucker, I'll show you, motherfuckers, I'll show you. But granted, back then I only PvP'd. I never really did any serious PvE whatsoever as opposed to now. And that kind of like evolved, right? Because I kept loving it and loving it more. I mean, Red Paladin in Wrath was really, really cool. Red Paladin in Cataclysm, which was even more cooler, in my opinion, because mages cannot steal the fucking wings anymore. So that was good. it was fun times. And in WoD as well, since we got like, I think in WoD it was the first time where Red Paladin received a little bit of mobility. And then Warlords.
I had a lot of fun with.
Yeah, but Warlords was the shit in a lot of cases. I cannot stress enough and praise enough the seal dancing and the empowered seals talent, which was amazing. I know a lot of people would flame Red Paladins back then because it was a lot of like, you know, whack-a-mole. You had a lot of
procs and
shit. Yeah, a lot of flashy things that would light up. And I kind of loved it even still. It wasn't. A lot of
you know why they flame that? Because they haven't seen Havoc yet.
Havoc was about to come. Well, granted, it was a meme for a lot of times. The longest time, I think because of Wrath, people believed, and it was true at that time, that it was a face roll spec. Because you could, in that moment in time in the game, you could do cast sequence macros. I don't know if you caught those.
Very, very slightly.
Yeah, so there was a lot of specs that would abuse this, but Red Paladins in specific, since they only had like, I think, 3 or 4 hitting abilities, they would cast sequence Divine Storm, Judgment, Crusader Strike, and I think Exorcism, right? These were the 4 abilities. And all of these would pop off. You just spam one button and just throw. Because Holy Power was introduced in Cataclysm, so in Wrath you still had mana. But you had infinite meta, I think because it was Divine Plea, if I'm not mistaken. People who main raids maybe confirm, I don't know, Divine Plea was the talent, was the ability that gave you mana. Regardless, it was a phase roll spec. But things slowly changed from Cataclysm all the way to now, especially BFA in the beginning, the Shadowlands, where Red has become one of the highest APL specs in the game. It isn't right now like that right now because of the tier set, but when you talk to like a lot of people who like know their shit, it was a lot of APL involved over there. Regardless, that aside, Red Paladin was always and it will always be my love, just because it caught me like when I was a teenager or whatever. It's that, you know, that love you get in high school, or you can like compare it to that shit, and it will always be there. It wasn't the most beloved spec by the devs by a long shot. I mean, people who main paladins for a long time. Red, remember the good old days of Ghostcrawlers, who in a direction towards Red Paladin, the famous quote, "Nerf him to the ground." That was only directed at Red Paladins. And I can complain a lot about the past, but the Red is in good standing. And I'm not going to go over why I chose Red in 9.2 yet. Let's talk about Flames main and why is it Havoc Demon High? No. What is it, man?
My main kind of always changes because what I find appealing into the game is finding myself within a spec. Like each spec has kind of like a fantasy to it, and it fulfills a special role, right? For instance, I was always, we can talk about, let's say, Protection, which is my current main right now. It's just kind of what I wanted to play for a long time, but tanking in a raid, in a guild, is kind of wanky.
Well,
because usually guilds have tanks already set up, and although I did tank in Nyalotha with Blood Decay, for our previous guild, I really wanted to play. And if you remember, we had this talk, I think last patch, when we were talking about Prop Paladin, we're doing the tier list, about how, man, if Shield of the Righteous would just feel impactful, like I'm actually putting up a shield, that would main Prop Paladin.
Yours,
and that's kind of how Warrior feels right now. Warrior feels, it's the... okay, so Prop Warrior feels like a legit tank, right? When you don't have any mitigation up, you're just being slapped, but it's not that bad. You have a lot of HP, you have a lot of armor, it's fine. But then if you pop shield block, like, melees don't mean anything. And it's a cool feeling to see, like, for instance, how we raid right now with my co-tank, which is a Vengeance Demon Hunter. I take a lot less melee damage than him. And looking and seeing that my shield block is just so good, man. Like, when I pop my shield block, my HP doesn't move. That's a very satisfying feeling as a tank, to be like that
but he
rock.
He takes less magic damage.
Yeah, he takes a lot less of magic damage.
So it's a good pair.
But see, that's the fantasy, because Pro Warrior, I think, is the quintessential. I think they've kind of nailed it now with the kit, at least, with how like a medieval fantasy type warrior would be. You put up a shield, you take less smacks into the face. You spell reflect. You shoot back the spell back at the enemy. That's actually really pretty cool. And you have all these shouts that actually matter right now.
Warrior shouts.
Charge mobility all the way, and you can do damage if you. So in terms of like how the class feels to play, which is why I'm playing Prot Warrior, which is one of the reasons why I'm playing Prot Warrior. That's why I picked a Prot right now. It's really cool design. It's also a difficult spec to master, like you said. Sometimes you kind of want to prove people wrong, because
or you just want that challenge.
It's definitely for the challenge, because in my eyes, and I think in many people's eyes, if you look at it objectively, the most difficult tank to play is either Prot Warrior or Prot Paladin. And I used to think it's Prot Paladin until I main Prot Warrior now. To optimize, right? Because you can just press your spells. Like, how was the difficulty in pressing shield block? A shield slam and shield block, right? But if you want to optimize it to make sure that you take the least amount of damage and do the most amount of damage, which often enough with Prot Warrior go hand in hand.
Yeah, no, I've seen you do some damage, goddamn.
And that's a very difficult thing to do. And it's cool, it's fun. I mean, I approach WoW like I approach many games. That's just how the kind of gamer I am. Is I like to have a challenge and I have to like have a goal, right? I want to play this. Yeah. And I want to master it and blah, blah, blah. And usually that's probably why I change specs every patch, because, okay, I kind of get bored a little bit. But that's when it comes to Prot Warrior, I like the fantasy of it. I like how it plays. And I've always, this goes back actually all the way to Classic.
Classic player alert. Oh, my God.
In Classic, 14 years ago. Actually, it might have been a little bit longer, 15 at the very least, because I've played Classic on private servers. And on private servers, TBC didn't come up until like 2006, probably, something like that. So like a year.
TBC?
TBC.
But that was released in 2007, so it must have come later.
2007. Oh, yeah. Shit. What am I thinking about? Wasn't Classic released in 2004?
Yeah,
it was like three years of Classic.
In Europe, it was released in 2005, and BC was in February 2007, the official one.
So I started playing WoW, it must have been in 2006. 7-ish on private servers.
Yeah, probably BC was already launched. If
yeah, I remember that at the time, private servers would usually get expansions somehow kind of okay and not buggy at least a year after they've been released on retail.
Yeah,
so
that was kind
so
of
it, it would be a while before I hopped into retail, and I couldn't afford retail at the time, so I was always looking at these. I remember Kungan at the time. I really liked Kungan because he was a prop warrior, and I remember the top guilds back then in Classic were doing Naxxramas, and people were talking about, man, this Naxxramas raid is so hard to do, and look at these prop warriors had the little Kel'Thuzad shield, the little skull thingy.
Prop warriors were like the only tanks.
Yeah, at that time, prop warriors, well, I my first character was a druid, and I always wanted to be a bear, but prop warriors were like the only real tank, so, you know, I kind of always... In. Thinking about that big fat dude with like the biggest fucking armor, biggest HP pool, and you would hit him. And I don't remember too much about warrior versus rogue PvP because I was also was doing world PvP. But I remember like warriors would mess rogues up at the time with armor.
That was before the DRs got in. When the DRs were not introduced, the rogues could like deal with anybody.
With the infinite cheap shot stuff and so on.
Yeah.
But that's so I, as an impressionable kid, seeing that big ass fucking tauren or orc with the big fat shield, and you know he would go into it and he would tank the fucking 100 foot dragons like that fancy is like so cool. It's like I want to be there getting slapped by that dragon and, you know, protecting everybody behind me. That's the cool side of pro warrior, which never actually left me, which is why I'm ending it right now. And of course we can go into let's say more specific details into 9.2, because this is all general stuff, right? Because a lot of people come in with questions like, I don't know what to main, I don't know what to main. Well, there's different facets to choosing a main, and I can make a couple of points, maybe you can continue on, that I consider, and I can mostly talk about this because I've kind of changed every main in every patch for the past 2 to 3 expansions. I've had a different character play in every patch because I wanted to test it out, wanted to see how it rolls out.
Yeah.
There are a lot of things that people gravitate towards when it comes to main. You can go at class, you can go with class fantasy, which Marcelin talked about as well.
The main ingredient for us, I think, first of all, then we look at the other stuff.
Some people don't care about that, but class fantasy is a big criteria for a lot of people. Class fantasy has to be something, you have to resonate with it, which is, I don't know, maybe, I don't know why I don't play Vulpera, which it doesn't have too much with this class, but you know, the race also plays into it, right?
Of course.
For me, a warrior has, if I'm playing Horde, warrior has to be an orc or a tauren. Obviously, you can play blood elf and so on and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. But I mean, if we're going to be talking about, let's say, in terminology that we can take outside of WoW, more grounded terminology, you're not going to take a blood elf and put a tank in the dragon when you have a tauren that's 3 times his size.
Oh, let me tank
three,
this.
5 times the muscle.
Let me tank this.
You know what I mean? and this is what I like about TBC at the time as well, because blood elves were the only race that couldn't be a warrior.
And I don't remember that.
That was 100% true. Blood elves could not be warriors in TBC. I don't know if they made them able in Cat and Wrath, or maybe at the end of TBC.
Well, those bastards had Seal of Blood.
But at the beginning, and if you think about it, I mean, blood elves are like, you know, the very high on wisdom, intellect race that taught humans magic. They would be the magic race, right? And if you go back and Warcraft 2, they didn't have a warrior type class. It would always
be true. Like, in terms of lore, yeah. At the beginning, it was like
but
that.
But then they added, and that's fine. But that's what I mean. So class fantasy. Then there's the playstyle, right? Playstyle as in, you know, how is the rotation? What are the cooldowns? Is it cool?
The intricacies, the optimization, how we can get better.
Yeah.
How deep does it go, actually, right?
And although, I mean, we can talk about this individually because this wasn't true in Classic, but ever since WoD, I don't know if this happened prior to WoD, but I know that in WoD they started to add more, they updated spell effects.
Yeah.
I remember when they did it for Warrior, where the whirlwind was like you rotate all around instead of like just a quick little red circle around you.
It was WoD when they updated a lot of not only the spell animations, but also the models of the characters. So there was a big facelift in WoD, and it kept on getting better and better with the other expansions as well. So, yeah. I mean, it's when you're talking about deciding on how the class plays and how does it perform in different environments, you know, it really boils down to what do you like to do in the game. If you like to just do like PV or, you know, dungeons and raids, you know, the decision will be different than somebody who's just interested in doing only PvP, like rated PvP arenas or RPGs. Since we're like for our main channel, we're doing like strictly PV content. Obviously, that was a big factor going in it, right? Playing a Prot Warrior or a Red Paladin in dungeons and raids obviously is going to be different from player to player. However, there's a universal truth regarding everything that, you know, goes in the straight line in terms of gameplay. You, like, for a Prot Warrior, obviously going to be a melee soaking king, maybe a little bit weak on the magic damage of sort. That's fine. For a Red Paladin, classical, you know, builder, spender, blah, blah, blah. That's on the surface of it. That's the universal part. But this is the thing, right? We like to get more in deep into it, right? And see how far does the rabbit hole goes.
Mm-hmm.
And these are specs that can really be played at a shallow level and be, I would say, I don't know, maybe decent. But in order to, like, get the full thing, the full potential out of these specs, you really have to go deep. And not all specs have this, okay? It's I think it's a matter of extent. Some specs have this to, I would say, an extent, but some of them can
There's a level of depth to each spec if you want to master.
For
it,
sure,
right?
For
even
sure.
Even you can joke a lot about Havoc, although that's not true now. It might have been true in BFA. Because now I believe
BFA was the easiest thing and the most boring thing I played in my life.
Let's talk about BM, because arguably BM has kind of remained the same in terms of complexity. There's still a level of mastery, and it's different from other spec. For instance, with BM, what you will probably master is every global has to be perfect, and that will increase your damage.
Yeah,
but if you miss one global, because there's a lot of things that go into BM Hunter. For instance, you want to maintain barb shot, but you also want to maintain focus, and you also want to maintain kill command. And each of these things are influenced by three different spells that if you press, they can fuck up all the other two spells.
True.
So it might seem simple at a glance, but being able to pull off the big, big, big damage.
And consistent.
Yeah,
as well.
Especially in single target, I feel Beast Mastery is a way more complex spec. And I don't think Beast Mastery is the most complex. Let's say if it's on a scale of 1 to 10, where I personally would consider Prower to be around 9, Beast Mastery would probably be around 4-ish. That's what I would see it, right? So it's still complex, but In terms of difficulty, and I've played Red a little bit, I feel like there's definitely a level of death there, and I've played it prior to what they've done now to it.
Yeah, you played the 1 minute build basically with the big setup and opener, and this was the thing, right? That was fun actually to see on Red Paladin, and I was a little bit salty that I didn't pick it at the beginning because I went Feral, but you know I eventually loved Feral in the first patch. Again, underdog, you know, all that story.
Mm.
But that was one of the... So that sequence, in order to always pull it right and pull it right in terms of like, okay, is it cleave? Is it single target? Is it multiple targets? That always differs. And you always have to be aware of the proper timing of the sequence and also make track of everything that goes around, like, you know, Seraphim and all of that. Besides that, now the spec has gone back, I would say, to how it kind of played in BFA, more or less, where it's like super bursty, but they also address the consistency of it. Really weird to see that Red Paladins now are much more prominent on AoE than they were in single. They used to be like one of the single target gods. I mean, if you had a priority target or you needed to funnel some shit, a Red Paladin can do the job no problemo, similar to Ferals and then Subrogues and whatever, because that 1 minute burst was insane. But now it's like super, and they buffed the AoE for it, right? They buffed the Wake of Ashes, they buffed Divine Storm, that's all fine. But it's like right now, I think people, me included, kind of got a little bit bored, I would say, on the 1 minute burst and the sequence and all of that. And this is very refreshing. It's mm-hmm. at this moment, playing a Red Paladin is so goddamn fun. It's unreal. And you know, the problem was always that because Wings was the biggest amplifier and it was on a 2 minute cooldown, you had the big burst, but after that you were just, you know, throwing noodles at the mobs and shit. Not anymore, because of the tier set. The tier set proxies gives you procs of Seraphim and Wake of Ashes, free Wake of Ashes, right? And that adds to that consistency, because if you're just gonna sit there and build holy power to do on Templar's Verdict, it's not gonna be like consistent. It's, you know, you're gonna do some, but not really that much. But with this tier set, you're gonna still be keeping it up there, and you can, man, I'm telling you, it's RNG, but it's not bad RNG. I think the balance tips more into having more procs than never having procs. At least from what I've seen and read, you know, on the Hammer of Red Discord, and from what I personally experienced, dude, you can get, I mean, I got sometimes like 10 Wake of Ashes procs in a row. Not even kidding, in a dungeon. I think it was our TOP, our Theater of Pain.
Oh, that's when they were like perma-stunning
them. Yeah, I remember.
You hit the stun DR in like 4 seconds. What the fuck was that shit? That was pretty cool.
But listen, regardless of that, that is fun. That is fun design for me. Okay, it may not be for everybody, but when I read the tier set bonus, I wasn't really happy about the duration of Seraphim initially. Thus, they changed it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But the four piece, I thought, man, this is going to be some fucking fun things to come. Because I knew like the proc rates for the Blade of Wrath procs. And that is basically what replaces Blade of Wrath, like the Wake of Ashes. That's the tier set, right? And I would just imagine at the point when reading that shit, it was like, and this was part of the decision I made really early on before. When I saw the tier set, I was like, oh my God, this is finally going to get us to a place where we can at least be consistent, but also not feel bad because it's RNG. Yes,
because that was my issue with Red Paladin that I didn't like it, is because outside of Wings, I felt like there was not much to do.
Well, you had the 1 minute build, dude.
Yeah, that's why I liked it. And that's why I played it a lot more during the 1 minute build.
You wanted to main a Red Paladin, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it was definitely, right? Definitely on my list. And from a fantasy perspective, I definitely... vibe with the Red Paladin. For me, the main drawback is, and this can go into picking mains as well, is that I don't feel as tanky. You have powerful defenses.
It's squishy.
But in terms of like, dude, if I'm a paladin, if I were play man, I want to feel like, oh, they slap me. It's like I'm slapping them back, but you're squishy. And it's similar to more specs, and this is maybe something that they can look into. And maybe they keep it as squishy because you have cooldowns powerful like Bubble, like Bob, like Sack and stuff like that, which are very good and very strong. And if Paladin were like super tanky, you know, I mean, you would probably be able to soak mechanics easier than most other specs.
You mentioned Bubble and Bop and Sack and all that. Okay, to be fair, the only real defensive a Red Paladin has is Shield of Vengeance and his heals.
I did not want to mention this that is, because that's not a real defensive.
This is the honest truth. I mean, Bubble is a defensive cooldown, but you usually use it in like super extreme situations or when you like to want to help your tanks or whatever, you know, taunt and bubble.
Ideally,
but the real truth of it is, this is a big discussion in the community because, you know, we complain as Reds that we don't really have defenses for ourselves. Yeah, we have heals, but to have those heals, we kind of need to sacrifice damage. So, but you can go for Selfless Healer and have the free Flash of Light. You usually take that in raids, but when it goes to dungeons, you need to World of Glory. World of Glory costs 3 Holy Powers. That's a sacrifice for a DPS. So it's not really like a defensive because just healing yourself all the goddamn time or healing others is not really like the defensive. You want something that is a bit more... I'm always like fucking like if I don't have my Shield of Vengeance up and I hear Sun calling out, okay, use defensives now. Sorry.
I kind of like to compare because this is actually the only real argument that we have. Compare Red Paladins to DKs. When it comes to
mobility,
not mobility, no, but in terms of tankiness, because I think this is where DKs actually get it right,
mm-hmm.
and paladins don't get it right. So DKs are also very immobile. You can argue which is more immobile, but their mobility is different and applies to different things, and it mostly matters based on encounter design. However, DK has mechanics to bypass, let's say things that would promote downtime for you. For instance, Icebound Fortitude, the Icebound defensive, and makes you immune to stuns. It can get you out of stuns.
But it's also damage reduction, right?
Yeah, it's a DR. It's 30% DR, if I recall. You have AMS, which makes you immune to certain spells. You can stay in shit and also generates runic power and also absorbs magic damage, which is really good. You have... Jesus Christ, Death is Bad. I keep calling March of the Damned. Jesus Christ. For 3 years, I keep calling it March of the Damned. I think this is what it was in what.
I think March of the Damned is the ability that the Fallen King from Hots had. When it went like that.
I think this advance was renamed in Legion and was March of the Damned prior. But whatever.
You know what we're talking about.
Yeah, it makes you not immune to slows. If you actually are immune to slows when you press it, and passively while you have it, you cannot be reduced below 75% movement speed.
Yeah.
So if you're going to make a spec that's immobile, give it tankiness. Yeah. And the DK has tankiness. It's tankier.
It is superior.
You still have the Death Strike, which you have to sacrifice damage for. Similar to Sword of Glory, although you don't sacrifice as much damage as a Red Paladin.
Yeah, but Death Strike hits the target, right? Word of Glory is just a heal, and you consume the resource. Yeah, but also,
you can say that Death Strike, if you don't have a target in melee, you don't have it. It doesn't work.
True.
But it's still better than Word of Glory in the sense that it heals for a lot, and you don't sacrifice as much damage, considering that three holy power would be equivalent to, I don't know, 60 to 70% of your runic bar, although you don't generate as much as quick, but digress.
Yeah.
But that's what I mean, right? And that's what I would see when I think about maining a Red Paladin. This is what I see as a drawback. However, I do feel like the tier set did an amazing job at completing the spec, and I'm really curious to see how they take it into 10.0, because taking this stuff away will feel very bad, because... Okay, you can argue that tier sets are like, you're just supposed to get like a different playstyle.
Yeah.
But these are like
filling, back to the 1 minute build.
these are like filling in holes in the specs.
I mean, that I feel. To be fair, man, it doesn't feel this actually feels like a tier set, like an added thing. I don't know if this would be like healthy for the spec to have somehow these procs get into like the base spec, right, and have all of these, because it would be reminiscent of one, and I don't think a lot of people will like that. I mean, just having procs of Seraphim and Free Wake of Ashes, it just feels like a cool added bonus, and it definitely completes. The suggestion for sure would be to make the class more consistent, but I don't think this is the way. This really is really fun and cool as a tier set. I'm not sure if this could be baked in into the spec one way or not, because it's procs.
Maybe, right. Maybe a talent role.
I mean, sure. Solutions, I'm sure they'll have.
For
100%. But
so same thing goes with Pro Rec, because if we're talking about 9.2 and what change, because
we are.
And I can actually make this argument on both sides of the spectrum as to why, because of a mechanic introduced in the patch, I want to play a spec, and why I don't want to play a spec. Yeah. I can start with why I don't want to play a spec, because I've main survival last year for all of the reasons that we just said right now. Difficult underdog. Yeah. Oh, big challenge, really fun, and I still believe that survival is close to being one of the best melee spec designs in the game. Very close to Windwalker. I think Windwalker is a little bit better. I think survival is lacking something. Although if it was lacking what I would think a really rewarding single target build, it did have that to an extent in 9.1.5, where you had like one Mythic Plus build, which is the current build that everybody uses with the bombs, and you had about two raid builds besides that. You would have the Treble, which I thought it was really cool. Trap, you throw in a trap, and because of the legendary that gives you more focus generation, you would be able to maintain coordinate assault for at least a minute. That was cool,
yeah.
And that was very difficult to do, because you had to have crazy uptime on the boss, you had to have perfect knowledge of the mechanics, know exactly when you would have to move, have countermeasures for when you would get like take the ball of AoE damage out of the raid, and use that to increase. That was a very high skill cap that I perfectly enjoyed, and it was fun to know that, you know, unlike Guardian and Terragru, and I don't know what else was there that you would use this build on, pure single target, let's say, you would use this trap build, the Nesting Warrior Trapping Apparatus Legendary. You could also use the bomb build, which was cool. You could also use the Venthyr. You could play Venthyr with a Razor Pouch and have like a semi-cleave fight where you would fire kill shots everywhere and it would reset. I used this on Painsmith a little bit.
I remember your ass on Painsmith. Jesus Christ.
It was really cool. And it felt like I had options, because survival... in BFA, even though it was way more underpowered, I feel in M+, it was a better design spec, because you had latent poison builds, you had bombs builds, you had coordinate assault, single target build. It was fun. That's what I would consider fun. And 9.2 just added more damage to the bombs, which I think it's a fun playstyle, but it makes all the other builds invalid, which I think Tier Set kind of made the same for most specs. It just made one build really strong. I guess fair enough, but it made the build that was already super strong and the strongest, and what made survival viable, because in raids it wasn't that viable. It was really good in Mythic Plus because the AoE damage was nuts, and they just piled on top of that. And because they added so much AoE damage, inadvertently the single target was buffed as well, kind of like how Havoc was in BFA, where its AoE was the single target rotation, AoE was doing so much damage.
Exactly.
I'm not a fan of that, which is why I didn't like playing Havoc in BFA as well, and that's what I consider a downside to survival right now and why I don't main it. Because I feel like the problems with the spec would have been adding more single target agency to it, making other builds viable as well, not just the same one. But that would just come down to spec design. However, on the flip side, we have Prot Warrior, which is what I wanted to tank. And I was going to choose between Prot Paladin, Blood Decay, Prot Warrior, and Brewmaster. And I kept, you know, weeding one out every time I started to play it. And once I knew exactly what the tier set was going to do and how you would play Necrolord, Prot Warrior, and have like almost, and I do have, if we're like Sledge Fist, if we're like Patchwork, have 100% time to on banner.
That's amazing.
It's fucking crazy. That's 400 amazing. Mastery for that entire time. Not to mention in execute phases, it is fucking bonkers. And with the tier set for Prot Warrior just makes you gain so much rage. It's so fun. It comes close to the Legion playstyle. Or even if it's exactly like the Legion playstyle where it was super fast paced, where specs were super fast paced, global after global.
It keeps you tied over there, like in engaged, right? Because you always have something to do, and that's really part of the fun, I would say. Subjective.
That's what I liked about Legion Pro Warrior as well, and it's one of the tanks that works when it's super fast paced because you do want haste, since haste works for the spec in terms of its mechanic, shield block, cooldown, and so on. But it feels really, really cool. I mean, not to mention all the Pro Warrior animation when you charge in and you smack into your enemy or you slap him across the face with the shield. That's really fucking fun. But it really works for the spec. It's not the most overpowered tank. It's kind of like average right now. It's maybe a little bit above average in terms of what I would consider it as performance-wise. It lacks some utility that, let's say, Dispatch would want from a tank. In dungeons, it's fine. But in raids, for instance, I have to like level my Blood Decay for certain mechanics. So probably it doesn't cover all the grounds, but I think that's perfectly fine. However, the playstyle feels amazing and it fixes, well, it doesn't really fix too many of the issues, but you do have a fun interaction where you gain so much rage, and maximizing the rage gain can net you incredible, incredible results. And that's fun. That's what I would have kind of wanted for survival to have, so I can keep maining it in 9.2, but it didn't, unfortunately, so I swapped.
Yeah, and I feel like Prot Warriors had always this meaty feel to them, which I don't see in any other tank, right? You can maybe have an argument for Prot Paladins when it comes to like their Avenger Shield or whatever, but Prot Warriors, when you see them and when you play them, it's that feel of, you know, you feel that charging in and then, you know, that thunderclap and, you know, those shouts and everything. It's really meaty and it delivers on that fantasy of being a warrior and also being able to like take a lot of hits, right? Plus the mobility as well, like the leap, the charges, really, really cool. Not to mention, I mean, you know, you're talking about utility. I mean, shout is a big utility as well. You know, the fear, the stuns, all of that combined can really deliver on, and I can see why you eventually decided to go for the Prot Warrior. It's sort of like going back to like the why I play Paladin 9.2 and always kind of played it. It's not always for me. It's not always necessarily about the pure DPS, because you know Paladin is a hybrid, right? I always loved playing a Paladin because of the extra stuff you can bring to the table. And people don't give enough credit to these specs.
Oh, yeah.
You can be very, very helpful in any situation, Mythic Plus or Raiding, as a Red Paladin. Because, and Flame mentioned this earlier, you do have a sacrifice. And that helps a lot.
That's the cool part that I wanted to talk about is being the one that people can feel, oh, we have him in the group.
Exactly.
It matters.
But I don't get why people don't get this stuff. Maybe there's alternatives to that. Sure, you can have other specs that can provide, but you never want to bop a tank in a Mythic Plus. That's a no-no. Only if you like want to, I don't know, taunt or something. Like, it's really, really bad. However, this could happen in a raid, and this happened in our raid in a couple of times where our Holy Paladin did not have the bop available, and I had to use mine on one of the tanks. I also needed to like bubble and taunt bosses in a couple of instances, which is really cool because I can still live and give my tanks, you know, a little bit of breathing room. Not only that, but I can freedom him when he wants to. I can slow a very enraged mob, right, with Hand of Hindrance. I can throw my Lay on Hands on the boy and let the healer breathe for a moment. I can use my Word of Glories on heal constantly, like just generate power. And with wings up, I can tell you can heal for a lot if that is the case, right? So it's not only about the damage. This is what I love about Red Paladin. It's that versatility of the spec.
Yeah.
That you can do more than just...
I noticed this when I played... I did play Prot, but the utility is similar. In Plaguefall, Propaladin, Propaladin.
The spells. I forgot about those.
The dispels and freedoms bypass so many mechanics, and I think the reason why, one of the main reasons why people don't see Rit as much is because the imbalance in the spec at the extremes in terms of damage output is so high, where if you have, you know, Windwalker sub Frostmage level damage, you can just ignore mechanics. Even if they happen, you don't need the utility because you just alt DPS. And that's, I think that's a flaw in the design of how the specs is, because you don't want the utility to be oppressive where you feel like, oh, we cannot do this without this guy. Because that then that just excludes everybody else. But I think the utility where they have it now is good. The problem is with how the specs were designed, where there were other specs than Propel and Red Paladin were doing so much more damage than Red that you could live without the dispel and the freedom and the stuff like that.
Because
you're just going to kill shit way faster before that eventually mattered. But I think in a world where they could, you know, tune down the higher echelon of the DPSers to a more even playing field, you could definitely appreciate a Red Paladin more, when you could say, oh fuck, normally we would have to overheal this debuff, but now with the Red they can just dispel it, and that's so cool.
Yeah, and this makes the difference between good and Red Paladins. I'm just gonna have to say it, because I've seen a couple of the streams. I was looking at people on other streams bugging Red Paladins and stuff. You can plainly see that they're not doing what's supposed to do. I'm not talking about damage, just, man, you're in fucking Necrotic Wake or in Plaguefall or whatever places you have where you can help out and just get a relief for either your healer or your tank or some of your fellow DPS, man, goddamn do it. This is why you're there, part of why you're there. It happens so much that it, sometimes I get annoyed. It's like, man, why do you pick a spec which has all this awesome toolkit and you never use it, right? And this was, again, part of the reason I wanted to play Red Paladin once again, because I just wanted to, like, you can say, prove to everybody that you can still be an underdog and do very well, no problemo. Granted, Red Paladin has an issue with connecting, okay? If you're not connecting to your target, you're shit, that's it. There's no two ways around it. There's nothing that can save you. If you cannot connect, say bye-bye to damage. But it's all good. You'll eventually get there. So, just like, I don't know, going through the cycles, okay? So, when was it? I was A2... No, A2, I played Red Paladin. A1, I played Red Paladin. Then A3, I played Havoc. Man, what a change. Oh my God. What a. Because it was so, I'm not trashing them, but it was so easy and brain dead to play and so less punishing. Jesus Christ. It got boring really fast. Okay, that was 8.3. Then came Shadowlands. And I saw the Paladin. I wasn't really happy with the unpruning at all, actually. It was, what the fuck, man? I mean, Shield of Righteous, really? How? That he cannot even do that. Retribution aura. I use it in the way, but it's the fucking... it was shit.
Questionable.
So I went with Feral for the exact same decisions, right? An underdog, I want to see how deep it is, because I remember Ferals could go really deep into, like, optimizing, and it wasn't a meta spec. Then, what was it? 9-1? Rogue, because this is the thing, right? Paladin and Rogue were always my two go-to classes all the time, so I had to go with Rogue at some point. And getting back to what we said in the beginning, I never knew that sub-Rogue would become meta in 9.1, right? I just wanted some sort of, like, motivation to play sub-Rogue because Sylvanas had the daggers, and I would get Sylvanas daggers. When I saw the data mine data, I was like, fuck it, I'm playing Rogue, that's it, I don't care about anything else. To finish up the fucking progress, right, and never get that dagger. Never. I think I got one from LFR, but that was like, we're progressing on Mythic, it was nothing, right? I had like 260 something daggers from like Mythic Plus or whatever.
What a shame. A shame.
But that was the pure reason, apart from like me just loving Rogue and loving its playstyle and mobility and the depth you can go into any spec of the Rogues. Man, the biggest decision for me, the biggest motivator for me was those daggers. Finally, I can do a boss and boss, and I can get a loot that's designed for my spec.
You know, although not the topic of today's podcast, having iconic loot for your class
is so motivating. Is really cool. You really want that. Yeah, you really want that. But again, it was something that there was the decision, because I would have played red even then, but there was like nothing really to gain from the loot table, let's say. But now I was like, fuck it. As I said earlier, when I saw the tier set, because I kept looking at the tier sets, right, to see, this one is this. I really love the Rogue one. I was like, Rogue is there, definitely up
good,
there.
Looks good.
It was like, it was because it was addressing the Cleave situation and all of that. But man, when I saw this band, I was like, man, I need to go back to my first love.
You gotta wake those ashes, man.
Yeah, because they were sleeping, baby boy. They were sleeping. And yeah, that was kind of it. So as you can see, there's really not like a super, I would say, emotional or I would say like 1 minute decision. Okay, I'm going to play this and that's it. We go through a lot of things when we decide on patch to patch. And it's kind of become some sort of a staple for us to like change mains every patch because of the nature of the content that we do on Marcellian Online, which is a lot of class guides, right? And tier lists and whatnot. And we have to play a lot of these specs in some capacity to understand how they work, how they perform, to make guides for them and stuff like that. So as much as I would like to play like Red Paladin, or you would like to play Prot Warrior 3 years constantly, that cannot really happen because of the other things we have to look out for.
Maybe because we do all this very content, that's like maybe a shout out to the game. Is like a lot of the specs are way more fun than you would think.
Yep,
and
they are.
Obviously, maybe this is then a detriment to the game because sometimes the content is not as fun. Changing alts keeps it fresh and gives you a different perspective. At the end of the day, WoW is fun. It just matters how quickly that fun runs out. And when you swap specs, you swap perspectives, you swap gameplay, and it's still fun. Like you can trash WoW for a lot of things, but you probably shouldn't or cannot trash for its combat design. Combat polish, because the combat in WoW is very polished. I'm not talking about bugs, I'm not talking about damage, I'm talking about how the globals roll out. GCD is shit, take that out of the table, but how the globals feel, how when pressing your wings or pressing my avatar,
it's meaty, it's visceral.
The feeling is nice, the effects are cool, which kind of is complemented by the art style of WoW, where it's a little bit more cartoony, a little bit more colorful, which can add contrast abilities. Because I've been looking, this is Final Fantasy players, but I've been looking at Final Fantasy players and I cannot understand what's going on, man. Like, sure, WoW can be busy, you know, graphical wise, a lot of colors, a lot of spell effects. But when you press your wings, you know you have wings. When you press your avatar and you're like twice the size of everybody, you know you fucking pressed avatar, right? So that's because of how the game is designed. So, and that goes into picking as a main as well. So if you like how your character kind of performs and looks and feels, we talked about the
looks are important, and the feel as well.
Yeah.
You know shit is about to go down when you see an avatar pop and it's visual. You know shit is about to go down when you see a glowing paladin with wings up. You know, that translates, that kind of reads into, oh shit, something huge is going to happen. This is like the visual cues from WoW. I think in most of the specs, not all of them, because like I can bring up Rogue, like if you play Shadow Dance, it doesn't really look that flashy, just a little bit more purpley or whatever. But you kind of see him happening. You can see like all of those fucking shadow strikes all the time. You know that's Shadow Dance, right? So if it's not the immediate visual, it's the after animation that can tell you. That reads a lot into it. And again, as Flame mentioned, this is part of like picking up the main. Sometimes you want to feel and see that moment, okay, when you have to shine or when you have to deliver something that's impactful.
Yeah, I think Havoc is the best example for this because it's maybe one of the most visual specs.
You cannot miss that, boy.
And
oh, no.
Listen, you hate it or love it, when you have a Havoc in your group, you're always seeing it. It's fun. Even if you're not playing, it's fun to watch. Seeing it zigzag across the battlefield, I-beam turn into a big fat demon, that's always really cool.
Fire Mage too. Okay, I would argue that you can see when you can bust it.
Well, I mean, I usually play melee. I don't see the Fire Mage behind me. I just see like fireballs coming from us. Like, something's happening.
Even Windwalkers, when they press, you know, Earth, Wind, and Fire or whatever, you know, can see all of those clones coming in, you know, shit is about to go down. And there's like a lot of specs have like either have the immediate visual cue that lets you know, okay, this is about to go down, or they have like the animations after that. If they don't have the visual cues instantly, they have the animations after that. And you can see it and you understand it quickly, and it gives you that feel of something impactful, which is part of a fun gameplay, I would say, in terms of like, you know, RPGs, MMORPGs or whatever. Man, yeah, we derailed a bit with this.
I think it's good because it can kind of summarize it right now. I think there are like three main criteria when picking a main that you need to consider. And each person considers these in a different capacity, which is why it's difficult for anybody to recommend you what main you should pick. So the first one is, let's say, the lore and class fantasy, right? Do you like Turalyon as a character? Do you like Uther's? Like, man, I want to be a paladin.
You said Turalyon. Let me just make a quick parenthesis here because I opened it up. For all you red paladins out there, yeah, you know, tomorrow we're going to have the expansion reveal. We don't know if you're going to see anything about class related, but however, I do want to bring up, because I always bring this up when there's a red paladin discussion, in the gracious year of 2016, when we had a alpha or a beta for Legion, there was a talent in the Red Paladin tree called Turalyon's Might.
Oh, yeah.
Turalyon's Might, basically, and I'll read it out for you, okay? You're going to find it similar to other games. So, flings a blade of holy light to the target location, so it's teleported, right? It's telegraphed, dealing blah, 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 holy damage instantly, and every 2 seconds to, it's AoE damage. Reactivating this ability will cause the paladin to charge to the blade, damaging enemies in the area once again AoE. What is this? This is a gap closer that paladins asked for since the beginning of time. You would see cavemen playing MMOs and scratching on the fucking walls, paladins, and say, man, we need a goddamn gap closer. Ooga, ooga. That's how good this, and they removed this. So, here's a hope. This is my parenthesis.
The vibe out.
Yeah, Turalyon's Might. This was a thing in Legion. They removed it for some reason. Whatever, whatever. Hopefully, we're going to get into it. Closing the parenthesis. Go ahead.
that's really cool. I mean,
if you like Turalyon,
that would be also part of class fantasy, right? If you enjoy, the light being shone upon you, being a warrior of light, being like an actual warrior's like that.
I always
decided to pick up the
faith. The vengeance. So the retribution to me was like, this guy is pure, but so many bad things happen around him and to the people he loved. He just becomes like vengeful and you know, super angry. Not in sense of like Fury Warrior angry. It's like, okay,
like Super Saiyan.
Just no. So this is the thing, right? You cannot. This is what I loved about it. You can never have always white or always black, right? A paladin as honorable as he is can fuck up, can get angry and fuck shit up. This is the thing. You can. I don't necessarily want to just heal and help. I want to smash some heads. This is the paladin, you know, the contrast between them. Okay, so yeah, I'm chatting up now.
Yeah, no, but that's cool, right? Because that's the class fantasy. Marcin likes it to an extent. I don't know how much he likes it, but for me, that's maybe one of the biggest criteria to picking a class. I really like to feel like, you know, I'm part of the world that I'm in, especially if I play an RPG. That just tickles my pickle. I like to feel like I'm a part of the world that I play in. This is why I'm playing an MMORPG. Otherwise, I would just be playing, I don't know, League of Legends or whatever arcade game or a shooter or whatever.
For sure.
I like to feel invested in the lore and the stories. Like I belong there. Which is why, you know, I like playing stuff like War, which is like kind of quintessential, and that's kind of like, you know, the generic spec. But Warriors in WoW are really cool. You can say what you want. Grow My Shell Scream, Varian, and so on and so forth. Sourfang, need I go on?
Yeah.
So class fantasy and lore wise is a criteria. It's like, you know, if you don't, I don't particularly, is there something that I don't really like? I don't know. I feel like everything kind of makes sense.
We can have a different podcast about things that are shit about specs and classes.
Yeah, but I mean, like lore wise, what would not fit? And I don't think there's a spec that doesn't really fit lore wise.
You mentioned some characters. I can mention Uther. I can mention Tyrion. I mean, come on. This is like super iconic, like the Daughter of the Silver Hand and all that. So yeah, I agree. And I vibe with this, okay? Playing a spec or a class that feels like it belongs to the universe you're playing in is really important, okay? As much as like we'd like to talk shit and then make jokes and stuff, when it comes to this geeky stuff, man, serious.
It adds immersion, man. It's a time and a place.
Yeah.
So this would be one of the criteria. This is the most subjective one out of the bunch. The next one would be the mechanical side of things where, you know, do you like how it plays, how the cooldowns is, how the rotation is, and you can add performance into it as well. and see exactly how it all plays out, right?
Yeah.
Although performance could be also the third thing, which is what I believe should be a thing. It should be a challenge, right?
Depending on what you do, again, we're playing in a Mythic Guild now. You have to look a little bit at performance because you don't want to be the
shit. Yeah, performance.
If you're playing like normal rating, I don't think it really matters that much, to be honest.
I think performance would go better into the third point that I wanted to make, and that's exactly a goal or a challenge, right? I believe that in a game like an MMO that has at least a little bit of competitiveness and progress, you have to have a goal. If you don't have a goal, I mean, the most you could probably take out of the game is, you know, collecting stuff, which is fair enough. That's the way to play the game. However, if you want to raid for casual fun, that's perfectly fine. That can be a goal as well. But let's say you have a goal. Maybe you want to do all 15s this season and you have never done them before. Or maybe you want to start Mythic raiding. You have to have a goal. Or maybe you want to do more damage than everybody else, right? That can be a goal. And that ties in into aspects like, oh, I want to be the tankiest prop warrior that my friends have ever seen, right? Or I want to be the red that slaps the most. And like, oh my God, this is red damage. Holy shit. And then everybody that plays with you in the group goes and sees all the others like, man, you shit, I've seen Marcellian do so much more damage. What the fuck you doing?
That's the thing. So, but this boils into what type of content you're doing. This is what we kind of open with, right? If you like really want to be in the more competitive aspect of the game, like pushing more keys or getting Mythic rating done or whatever, then yeah, the third part would actually be performance. And this is usually kind of hard to like predict when it comes to like a new patch being launched. Luckily, you know, I feel like
this is what people focus on the most. The third part, the performance, the damage.
Yeah,
From
the feedback we're getting a lot of times. Yeah. Like, yeah, how is this spec doing right now? Is this spec good in Mythic Plus? Is this la la la? Is this la la la?
That's fine to an extent. However, if you're always going to choose only this or this being your main criteria, you're going to run into a couple of issues. One of which is, what if your spec gets nerfed? Then you're left without the biggest reason to play that spec. And you have to like, oh, if this is your main thing, you kind of have to always have the mindset like, okay, I will always have to swap specs based on what's the best. So I would have to play a lot of specs and have them ready.
Yeah.
If you want to play the meta spec, you always have to realize that you kind of have to have backups always ready. Which is why, you know, it's important to have a balance between all of them. But then again, everybody plays the game differently. But if you do always pick the performance, you might never actually get to enjoy the depths of the spec, which is kind of hard to get out of in just one patch, right? Some people do. Some people are natural. Some people can just, oh my God, I can just do the best, be the best at the spec that everybody has ever seen. And that's fine. That's not the most people. So you take, you don't experience parts of a spec and a class that are so cool and have so much passion design put into them, right? Which is why you probably see people that play the one spec for like forever and just that one spec. It's probably because they have, let's say, you know, the love into the class fantasy.
They're more invested, yeah. The bottom of the line here is just play what feels right for you, okay? Because if you make all of your decisions on how it performs and strictly that, yeah, the first thing that happens usually either after a world to race first or before that is tuning. And this is now happening for at least the last two expansions. So if you like, you look at tier lists and predictions or whatever, and you strictly base your decision off of that, oh, the, you know, Boomkin is going to be meta or whatever, Enhancement Shaman is going to be meta. You got to first love how it plays, and you got to be like super into it regardless, because if it does do shit and it doesn't perform, it cannot compete with other specs, you still love how it plays, and you have to keep that. Yeah, I don't know, it's this is why I play Red Tile. Red Tile is not the best class right now, but I so much love playing, I cannot wait to play it.
Marcellian is a good example because, sure, you can play whatever you want, right? And nobody can tell you what to play and how to play the game, it's up to you. This is mostly from our perspective. Having subjective passion and love for a spec, even if it's not the best performing, can help you access certain things from it that otherwise you wouldn't. And that's, you know, learning the spec and mastering it to an extent, which is kind of true for everything, even outside. Well, when you want to master something, you kind of have to have a little bit of passion for it. And that's when you discover something else. That's when you discover that even when it's doing shit, you're still doing really, really good. And Marcellian has been playing red like, I don't know if we had like a group of people that we've ever played with ever since we started to do PvE content that had you in it that said like, oh my God, red is doing damage. Because that's the thing, because a spec like Red, never having been meta for at least the last three expansions, I don't remember
it. Because you don't see it in the MDI. So
maybe it was meta in WOD, and I don't remember it that much, wasn't. But I mean, in PvE at least, people don't see it, right? So people don't actually know. But when you dedicate your passionate time to it, you start to actually improve a little bit better. And maybe this is what Blizzard actually takes into consideration when they're balancing the spec, and maybe why Red is buffed. Is because if you actually do right, you're actually doing a lot of damage, right? But most people don't do that. Most people don't get the chance because you swap so quick from spec to spec. And that's fine if that's what you want to do, but you have to take this into consideration.
Don't complain after the nerfs.
Yeah, when you do swap specs all the time, I mean, there has to be a balance between if it's fun, if it performs, if you like the class fantasy or whatever, so that you can kind of get it right. And sometimes people cannot tell you what to play. You have to kind of test it out yourself, test the waters.
I mean, yeah, don't get us wrong. We love telling you guys, you know, on streams or whatever, on tier list, okay, hey, what should I choose between this and this? But when we answer that, there's always going to be all of this hour-long discussion, you know, filtered out through the response. You understand? So if you're going to ask me, hey, what should I play this patch, Frost DK or Red Paladin? Well, if I'm just going to look at performance, I'm going to say Frost DK, obviously. But if I'm going to be 100% truthful, I'm going to say Red Paladin. I feel it's like more fun, more everything, okay? And this is subjective. It's always going to be subjective. Mm. But yeah, so hopefully, I don't know, maybe this sheds some light. I'm not sure.
I mean, yeah, it's true. This is not a podcast about playing Red or Prot Warrior. This is
our
about
mains for this
like what we think about when we choose a main. And maybe I'm wrong, but I think we're maybe a little bit more balanced on choosing mains than most people, because you have the people that are maining one thing for 17 years. And people who change their mains three times a patch.
Yeah.
So I think we might be able to strike a balance between those.
I mean, we had an hour-long discussion about how we go into it and what counts and not. So there's a lot of shit going
into it. Hopefully, maybe this gave you some insight onto what to do. And I mean, at the end of the day, hopefully for the foreseeable future as well, WoW is still fun. And there are aspects to it that are really fun. And
aspects, dragons, WoW, what you did there,
shit.
Flame?
Oh shit, it came out naturally, by the way. And when you're bored with, I cannot say QWERTY anymore, but when you're bored with Xeroth, Mortis, or Raiding, or Dungeons, try a different class, try a different spec, and see, because there's a lot of passion put into this game, and it's just a shame that a lot of people don't get to experience it.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. And hopefully, we said a lot of hopefully, but if this helped, hopefully... Let us know in the comments, and we can talk about. Let us know how you go into the process of picking a spec. You just watch videos? Do you look at logs? Do you look at WoWhead articles or whatever, analysis data? Yeah, analytics. There you go. Yeah, there is a whole. Let us know in the comments on what you go through it and what's important for you, and let us know if this helped in any way, because the new expansion is going to be announced. You're probably going to start thinking of what you're going to main and blah 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 blah. Blah. So maybe, I don't know, this kind of came at the right time, hopefully.
Yeah.
But that being said...
It's been cool. Hopefully you enjoyed this. If you're listening to this on Spotify, you can also check it on YouTube and let a comment posted there. And this has been the MoCast for this week. We're going to be back next week with a new episode chat.
And chats. See you guys. Thank you for watching or listening. Bye.
I've been loving it then, I still love it now. Still, I play WoW. Still, I play WoW. Getting better every day, let me show you how. Cause still, I play WoW. Still, I play WoW. It's getting harder to stay, but at the end of the day, it's a guilty pleasure, so just log in and play. Whether it's classic or retail, I'ma do a slash bow. Still, I play WoW.